right club.
Be the right club today.
Yeah. Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most.
Expect anything different?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the No Laying Up podcast. We have WGC FedEx St. Jude Classic. We have the Barracuda Championship. We have, what was the Corn Ferry event named this week?
Yeah, I know it was in Springfield.
It was a lot of names. We had the Avion Championship on the LPGA Tour, and we have the UK British Open, British Senior Open, presented by Her Majesty the Queen.
And Ken Duke.
And Ken Duke.
And Dubai Duty Free.
Played in Ken Duke's home country. God, I can't wait to get angry emails about that. That's like a three-year-old joke we've had going. Lot to break down here. I think we're going to start with the Memphis event, which I think none of us were too excited about going into it. Did it meet or exceed your expectations?
Well, first of all, hello.
Hello, DJ.
How are you? Tron, how are you?
I'm great.
Okay. Good to see you.
I mean, it's getting lit out in Reno.
It is.
We are recording before Reno ends. So if Morikawa wins, then regrettably, we won't be able to comment on that.
We'll be doing live reaction as we're watching it.
It'd be really cool.
So I think with regards to Memphis, I think two things can be true. I think one...
You hate kids.
Yes. Well said.
And cancer is sick.
Yeah. Those are the two things. No, I think one... It can be an awesome thing for the city of Memphis. I can be super happy for everybody who was out there seeing events or mm-hmm. seeing all these players. Mm-hmm. I think everybody
get them, Skip.
You know who's been? They've been going to TPC Southwind since like 1989 every year. FedEx, the biggest supporter of the tour. Memphis event has been around since I don't even know, like
a long time,
50, 60, 70 years, something like that. I have nothing but good things to say about the city of Memphis hosting this. And
you don't want Memphis. You're afraid of Memphis.
No. Well, I think you see like why all the Memphis people got so fired up was like, because they, you know, there's a lot of deserving cities in the world. And that's why I think the WGCs should move around a little bit.
Yes. Memphis did nothing wrong.
No,
this is the tour's fault.
Yeah.
But I think number two thing that can be true is like, I don't have to be that excited to watch it. And correct. I was not that excited to watch it.
It's you can't feel bad about that either. You know what I mean?
Like right.
You can't fake excitement for an event. And that's where I think a lot of the hostility about the event going into the week was coming from. And like, I wouldn't have tuned in today if it wasn't for Rory Brooks. And
yeah,
that actually ended up being extremely disappointing viewing today anyways.
But I think it's what happens when you like design things on paper, they look great, where it's like, it is a good city and a good host course and a good field and a great deserving charity and all those things. And it's like, guys, this is like, come on paper, this looks so good. I'm like, yeah, but it just... there's no like soul to it. Like, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Well, and it, for years, I know Tron has really followed the Reno event Barracuda very closely over the years. And to me, it just never really fully grasped. I never really fully captured me. And I know it's kind of hard for us because out there, like, more people care about hearing about WGC than they do Reno. But for us, like, I don't know, the story, I think, is a lot more interesting of the guys grinding for cards than like the fat cats getting fatter and richer and Brooks cruising to a victory. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because we've gotten to know a decent amount of guys that kind of like,
it's like the game within the game.
They jump rope that 125 line and battling for cards. And I just find that way more interesting. And I think, you know, just we're going to talk more Reno later. We're going to start, of course, with Memphis, but just being out there and seeing some of those old guys grinding too, and like just seeing like where their place is in the game. And it's just, it kind of, I don't know. It was not heartbreaking because I mean, it's all relative. A lot of these guys right. have made tens of millions of dollars playing golf and whatnot, but I just have way more respect for the grind after seeing, and there's not many points available at Barracuda, and guys like have to have like a top five finish to really make an impact on their standing right
there's,
now. So
there's almost like two throwback things going on tour this week. Like the Barracuda, I've never been to it, but from everything you guys have said and from everything I've seen and heard, just feels like a throwback event. It feels like what the tour used to be like when guys were driving from event to event and kind of going out to the casinos at night and hanging out with each other and just a lot like less serious is not the way to say it, but just a lot more laid back and a lot more like approachable for a normal human being. I think that feels very late, like very throwback. And I think the Memphis like crowds feels very throwback. I think where, you know, talk to a lot of people on site and like the crowds were massive and they're used to seeing like kind of a shitty field the week. It's always the week before the US Open, mm-hmm. the week after the US Open, week before the US Open. So occasionally, you know, you get Dustin and you get a couple guys who like to play the week before a major, but typically the field's just not great. And so this week, it sounds like they all got to, you know, it almost feels kind of jarring and shocking to see how much lower the scores go this week. I know Dustin shot 19 under last year, but that was kind of an outlier. If you look back at the last,
he was the greatest player of all time.
Exactly. Well said.
Now he's on his deathbed.
But I think those fans, like, you know, you feel a lot more local excitement, which feels very throwback as well. The problem is, like, it's just so hard to get that to translate to TV or to the, you know, us sitting here in Jacksonville. You know, it's really, really hard to convey that.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit, we're not mad at you guys. We're not even mad.
It's a terrible spot in the schedule for it. And it's a casualty of, you know, the new schedule. It's going to be really weird when they go next year. I've seen reported two different ways that it's going to go. Memphis, the Open in England, and then Tokyo for the Olympics. Or I've also seen that it's going to stay, maintain the spot in the schedule, and they're going to go England, Memphis, Tokyo, which is just a nightmare for any of the top 50 in the world, the guys that are most affected by it. But I don't know.
It's a good course too. Like, I always like watching. I always feel like it's like you can't fake it around there. Small greens.
The old spot in the calendar fit better, you know, between the PGA and the Open, and it just felt like the last big non-major event of the year before the playoff. The playoffs don't even feel big, so it just felt like, I don't know, it had more of an identity, I thought, at Firestone than it now does. Maybe give it time. I mean, who knows? But I don't know. It's a tough scene.
So much of this, I think, depends on how, you know, the competition goes, which I know is very obvious. But like, the first year in Mexico was the best leaderboard, and it was wild, and people were making birdies all over the place. And I think that colors a lot of, like, holy shit, this tournament is so exciting. If that had been a sleepy runaway, like, maybe we'd feel differently about Mexico. But now, you know, we have these first impressions of, oh my God, anything could happen at this tournament, and it's so wild, that have now stuck with us for 2-3 years. So I hate that, you know, for all the reasons we mentioned up front, like, for all the good positive reasons that, you know, there are for a city like Memphis, it's kind of going to get colored now as, like, all right, well, it's just, you know, it's boring. Nothing happens there. Whereas if it would have been this Rory Brooks shootout, like, I think everybody was hoping, that might have, you know, we might have been feeling a little differently.
Which, in their defense, like, Firestone wasn't usually that exciting. Like, it's not been a very exciting tournament over the years.
It kind of shows, it's a lot like Torrey Pines, where it shows, like,
other than when Steve Williams said it was the greatest win of his career when Adam Scott won.
Well, that's what I was gonna. It feels a lot like Torrey Pines, where Tiger or Bay Hill, even when, like, Tiger basically makes it seem like it's a lot more interesting than it is. Mm-hmm.
Westwood winning that one year was really cool too.
Because he literally don't even remember that.
He had the UPS logo on his
shirt. Memphis. Yeah. Oh, we're talking about Akron. Yeah.
I think, like, I feel bad sometimes because FedEx puts up.
This is deep. Crown feels bad about something.
Well, so FedEx puts up so much money and supports the game and the sport that we love, mm-hmm. and, you know, makes our favorite players richer than you could ever be in your wildest dreams. It's just a weird vibe that, like, they do all this stuff to support the tour and then you resent them.
Well, we don't win. Like, we don't win as viewers. It Correct. Makes the viewing experience worse for us because it's, you know, the FedEx Cup standings updates, all of those, like, as much as they supported it, like, it doesn't, I guess the end of the year is a little bit more exciting for fans. But other than that, all that money goes to, like, the players. And I don't care that much if the players make a ton of money. I mean, the FedEx Cup is maybe a little different because it's comical how much money they play for at the end of the year. And, like, some of those putts are for, like, $7-8 million on the 18th green. Like, that is freaking comical, I think. But otherwise, like, why would I care how much money the players make?
Well, I think my point is just that the tour, it's kind of a reflection on the tour. Like, the tour's managed to make this sponsor that's basically funding the entire tour, you know, make them look like the bad guy almost.
It felt a lot like, you know, this thing got, it was a hostage situation and it had to go to Memphis. And I think that's where a lot of the initial resentment came from, which I don't think is fair. You know, I think it's more than anything, it's probably FedEx, like, stepping up and saving an event more mm-hmm. than, you know, ripping it away from Akron or anything like that. But, or ripping it away from, you know, Australia or something. Cause I don't, all the things I think we'd want to see, like, probably aren't feasibly or fiscally possible for a lot of reasons we talk about on this podcast a lot. But it's just, to your point, it's like, on paper, everything feels great. You know, it's like these WGCs are a perfect example of, like, imagine, you know, the pre-WGC world. If someone sat down and was like, what is it that you guys want to see? Like, what would make you happy? Like, dude, I don't know. Just like, give me the best players, man. And just like, you know, just let me see those guys on cool courses. And they're like, okay, cool. Here, we designed this whole thing. It's the WGCs. What do you think? No, that sucks. We don't like it. And so like, I hate being that guy that's just like, what's your idea? Nah, no, not interested. But that's like, just the way the it started to feel.
What's the point of calling them the WGCs?
They're not W. Yeah, they're. Like, I guess because it pulls players from all over the world in theory. Like,
but there were some guys in the field this week that I legitimately never heard of before. Poom Sank Sassoon.
That's the only thing that's world about them, though. I mean, yeah. In the one that they do leave for, I mean, at least like Mexico is still in North America. But the one they do leave for is China, and that's the worst one. So, like they've done.
That's the worst event on tour, I think.
Yeah.
Well, so what do you do? What do you do? I mean, what's the answer?
Well,
is it just get rid of these and replace them with normal, quote unquote, normal events? Is it? Because I think the tour, by and large, like wins in these. They make a fuckload of money on these. They get the best field. They appease their sponsors. They get big crowds at all of them. Like, you know, they're not going to change it just because like we think it's kind of boring.
Well, are ratings good?
I don't know. I don't know if ratings are great on like anything right now.
I mean, so. Just like everything with ratings is thrown off by the one guy. Like the ratings don't really mean anything because
and streaming and all the different ways.
Yeah, but he comes back just enough to like screw up all of like, well, our ratings. Yeah, it's down from last year, but we had a Tiger year last year. And like right. When you don't, like every tournament rate's pretty much the same. Understanding.
That's Randy's whole take is that the cat is basically just like a black hole supernova of the sport. He's expanded it to these ridiculous levels. It's just going to all collapse in on itself.
Yeah.
You guys want to talk some Brooks?
A small bit of dark matter.
You want to talk some Brooks?
Sure.
Let's get to our first voicemails here.
Hey guys, it's Vandy from Orlando. I mean, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. The guy shows up 30 minutes before the round. People are freaking out like he's not going to show up. No, he shows up. He practiced for about 9 minutes. I think he took 3 swings on the range, maybe 9 putts, and he whooped Rory's ass. This is just one of the funnier things I've ever seen in golf. I can't wait to see what actually Brooks does next to just one-up how much he could even care less. I mean, he might show up to Augusta Thursday morning, 9 minutes before his tee time, and just walk out, shoot 65, and leave, and not even answer questions. This is one of the greatest things we're ever going to see, and if you can't appreciate how funny this is, man. Whew. Also, love what you do. And by the way, Ian Baker Finch is making me shove needles through my eyeballs right now. I can't listen to this guy anymore. All right.
Yeah. We had to cut out part of that voicemail because
he's kind of spiking the football.
He went for a long. That guy called like 3 times, by the way, too, which we don't want to necessarily encourage, but we could only play one of the messages. That was a good call. I do think, to his point, like we don't appreciate Brooks for how like much of a. He's like everything that we would want a golfer to be. Still, for some reason, people aren't really fully on board. And I'm kind of the same way. Like, I can't fully buy into him. But, like, he says all the right things now. And
he's not a golfer, though.
He's not. He's not. He's
that's
not
unfair to him.
You know? He's not going to practice when he goes home. He made that very clear in his what was this? He said he was tired in his press conference. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm pretty tired. Just mentally, though. Not physically.
I'd beat the shit out of you if you want to fight me right now. I think that what's cool about Brooks is a sentence I wouldn't have pictured myself uttering 12 months ago or 2 years ago is like we stopped recording the podcast to listen to Brooks's press conference when it went up, which is actually pretty fascinating. I thought that was like the kind of more interesting than a lot of the golf we saw, not, you know, to anybody's fault, just Brooks made it pretty boring pretty early. But I thought the time to tee time thing, I wanted to be a little bit more exciting. He basically diffused that and was kind of like, yeah, everybody's freaking out about this. I usually arrive like 55 minutes before my tee time on Sundays. And today it was 45 minutes.
I did like his, yeah, I mean, I don't need to hit balls.
Yeah, he's like, I show up, I'm like stretched and ready to go. Like, I don't need to hit golf balls. I don't know. He's like, everybody's like freaking out. I don't know. He's like, I think he said like, yeah, I didn't see, I'm sure you didn't see 1 ounce of stress on my face. Like I'm fine.
And then he had a cold all week.
Yeah, but he's fine. I mean, people go to work sick all the time.
That was a clear shot across the bow at Jason Day.
Many shots at Jason Day at in the press conference.
That putt he had on 18. They're like, yeah. And this is for 64. I was like, Jesus, man.
I know.
God, that was a quiet 64.
Yeah, that was like the quietest 65 I've ever seen in my life. And part of it's just because he got up and down from everywhere. Tron, little stat for you. He got up and down 20 out of 22 times.
Why are you directing this?
It feels a little Dion dancing on top of Tron's grave.
Including 9 out of 9 times on Friday and 7 out of 7 times on
Seems
Sunday.
Good.
So
Tron's chipping's fixed.
If you guys are curious, you know, Tron, what's keeping you off tour? What's keeping you from taking the next step? Listen, that's the kind of stuff you're going to have to improve.
Well, I was excited. We got home and we got some of these Callaway Sure Out wedges they sent to us.
Which, yeah, exactly.
Like, they kind of sent them as a joke. And I'm like, man, maybe I should actually use them.
No, looking down at it, I'm like, God, this actually looks pretty good. I'm going to check my pride, check my ego. I'm going to go to the range tomorrow and see how they work.
I did enjoy Faldo today saying something. There was, you know, they're talking about driving distance, how important it was. And Faldo's like, no, it's not the driving distance that's important. It's the putting. And it's like, literally, man, it is the opposite. Like, you, how can you watch golf and be a 6-time major champion and think that? And there's a little chart that was floating around Twitter. I don't know where the origin of it came, but Chris Stroud tweeted it at the PGA Tour, very upset about this. But he said, very unfortunate that precision has gone out the door. So basically, if you average driving between 310 and 320 yards, you made $3.1 million as your average salary. If you drive it between 300 and 310, 1.3, 290 and 300, just under $1 million. And the chart just like drops off completely. So like, they're like, clearly the reward for tons of driving distance is extremely
They're anti-Brian Gay.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. I do think, I mean, it was a great leaderboard. Brooks, obviously, Webb, 3 shots back. Leash played really well last 2 days. Solo third gets him up to 11th in the all-important FedEx Cup standings. Fleetwood, Fitzpatrick, Rory, Rahm, Poulter. How sick was that shot Bubba hit?
Oh, God.
That was on 18.
He missed the water to the
You're
left.
You're talking about the one where he blew it into the like the dead center of the pond. Shout out to Robert Garrigus on that one. That was shades of Robert Garrigus from 2013 or whatever year that was.
Underrated part, he hit the trees left of the pond and then it went into the pond.
Exactly. God, if anyone's looking for some Schadenfreude, just look up that Robert Garrigus Memphis thing where he had a 3-shot lead coming to the last hole. And made an 8.
Was that when he was putting with the 29-inch putter?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly when it was.
He did give a pretty good fist pump, too, after he made the putt for triple.
And lost in a playoff.
Very John Vandeveld style.
Can anyone tell me who he lost to in the playoff? I think. I'm pretty sure.
Chad Campbell. No idea.
I want to say Robert Carlson.
Okay. That sounds right.
Fresh off the yips.
Big shot Bob.
Yeah.
All right, a quick break to tell you about one of our favorite partners and favorite apparel brands. I honestly don't think there's a day that goes by where I don't wear Travis Matthew something, like of some kind. I wear the shorts almost every day.
Predominantly blue.
Always blue. you know this. You know me. Come on, TC. I mean, honestly, I'm wearing a Travis Matthew shirt right now.
Blue.
It is blue.
It's actually like 8 different shades of blue.
I was actually out in Southern California a couple weeks ago and I was wearing Travis Matthew and it felt very local. I felt like a local. I fit in. It's inspired by Southern California culture and lifestyle. Create high quality men's apparel. They got a full lineup of gear to get you to the course, to the office, end of the weekend. Promo code NLU20, 20% off your next purchase at TravisMatthew.com. Again, that's NLU20 to get 20% off your order. Board shorts, button-ups, jeans, outerwear, belts, socks, sandals, shoes, polos. They got everything. I think, DJ, you wanted... What's your favorite?
If I could suggest, use the 20% on the trifecta pants. Okay. I have a couple pairs of them. I wear... It's 150 degrees in Florida, and I still wear pants a lot just because they're so comfortable. They're light. They don't wrinkle well. You know, they're
functional.
Spectacular. You can wear them, you know, you can wear them to a meeting, to a coffee shop, disruptive meeting. You can wear them on the golf course. You can wear
from the boardroom to the grill room,
to the poker room.
Sully, you complimented the hoodie I was wearing.
Yes.
My favorite.
It's a fire hooder.
That's my favorite hoodie.
I need to get one of those. So
super light. I can't remember the name of it, but it's like this button up at the top. It's great.
Again, TravisMatthew.com, NLU20 to get 20% off your order. Let's get back to the pod. Can you take us through some of the dollar amounts that go along with Brooks's win today, DJ? I know you're a big money guy.
Huge money guy. So Brooks wins $1.75 million, I believe, for the WGC. So that's a pretty good little Sunday in itself. He wins $2 million for the no free ads, unnamed hotel season long points race.
Which I can't wait to get to that.
thank you for competing and doing everything you would normally do this season. Here's an extra $2 million. And then another $1 million for the no free ads, unnamed, I don't know what they do, risk assessment, something like that.
Large insurance. And
yeah, some sort of risk reward challenge. So there's another $1 million for, again, doing stuff that, you know,
you probably found out
maybe like Monday after the tournament that you made birdie and improved your standing on that one. So here's $4.75 million. So basically, if you took his earnings from today, which I know is unfair because they're built on a whole season worth of work, but just his purse today and his bonus money would have put him 13th on last year's money list.
And then that's not even counting the bonus that he'll get wherever he finishes in the FedEx Cup. He doesn't even need the win to make a couple $1 million.
I believe that's more. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or that's definitely correct. Yeah. Sorry.
And now, I mean, now it's what, winner gets 15 this year.
Yeah. So this doesn't include the playoffs bonus. So everybody, like if you finish 125th, I don't even know what it went up to this year, but it used to be like you'd win like $30,000 or something just for finishing 125th. And then that was all the way up to, you know, you obviously won 10 for finishing first. And I think it was 3 for finishing second. And now that's up to like 15 for finishing first. And I forget what it is for finishing second.
So. Well, not only that, you get paid if you're in like the 126 to 150 range too. You get bonuses.
You lost your card and you get a bonus for losing your card.
Well, what's going to be weird this year, I'm not sure I know that they kind of did the math on this, you know, tour championship and how they're staggering the field, which is hilarious to think that they are actually going to stagger the field and give somebody somebody at 10 under par.
I think I've come all the way around on that.
Oh, I'm in on it. It's a complete joke, but
it's a sweepstakes.
But so if you were up near the top of the FedEx Cup in prior years, it was pretty hard to, like, if you had a bad week, the tour championship, like it cost you, but you wouldn't fall like all the way back to 30th. The person who starts in first could hypothetically finish 30th. Like you'd have to punt like 10 shots back to the field and then keep falling back.
Which, but
like,
I think is kind of sick, right? If everybody's like, I think a big complaint about the quote unquote playoffs is that they're not, you know, they haven't really been a true playoffs. It's kind of like a body of work. And it's of course, you know, whatever sport you want to compare it to, but it's, you know, so-and-so is 16-0 and then they lose in the playoffs and they're out and it doesn't matter. So I guess in that regard, it's kind of cool that, you know, there's a little more heft and you got to kind of play well the whole time. But I think it's kind of retweaking something that's obviously been imperfect for 13 years in the hopes that
what happens if people
will be able to understand it, which I think they will. So I guess it's probably a step in the right direction.
What if you get hurt after 36 holes?
That's a great question.
And have to withdraw. And like, what if Brooks like hurts his wrist again?
Well, that's not going to happen. Sick. He'll play through the
field. Yeah. But like, yeah, you go from first to 30th. If you have to withdraw, is that what happens?
I don't know. That's a great question. That's sick.
Yeah. I'm in on that.
Yeah.
What if you're like violently ill and you're throwing up? Like somebody could just be out there just bunting the ball around, throwing up in between shots.
Can we talk about the hotel points race?
Oh, please.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you think that Brooks, this is a theory I'm working on. Do you think Brooks, so everybody gets pissed when Brooks wins normal PGA Tour events, right?
Yeah. It's his legacy.
Exactly. He should only win majors. But do you think that, so he won this week, which locked up his $2 million Wyndham Rewards thing. Do you think he only won this week because of how much he didn't want to play Wyndham?
I think there was like a detente of some kind or an agreement, a Mexican standoff between all the guys in the top 10 of that, guys,
no collusion.
We don't want to play. Like, no, nobody wants to play Wyndham, right? We don't want to play. All right. We're all signing the agreement. Nobody's going to go play, right? And if one person would have committed, then they would be, oh, fuck this guy. Now I got to go play.
Yeah, I heard Xander's playing.
Yeah.
No, well, fuck, he can't play. Then we all got to go.
So nine of the top 10 are skipping?
Yeah.
Who's the one guy who's playing?
Surprisingly not Kuchar. I would have, I think it's Paul Casey.
Maybe.
It was the only one that is going for it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what they thought was going to happen. I guarantee it couldn't have been this, but they fleeced them. They absolutely fleeced them. Look at the schedule.
I mean, we're talking about it, right?
But like, they didn't get any of the players to show. Now it's like the laughing stock. No, like the idea for Wyndham, I'm assuming, was to get players to go to play this tournament. Like, they're giving away this big cash prize, and they didn't get it.
Trying to fill up those hotels in Greensboro.
Probably part of it. I'm a big part of it, but probably only part of it. I mean, I think the other part is obviously just like
the exposure,
impressions, and exposure for the entire season. So,
yeah,
which they did. They got that.
They added a new tab on the website.
That's huge.
Wyndham Rewards, you know, tracker. I will say, I mean, the field's probably going to be stronger anyway, right?
Well, we were talking about this earlier. I'm actually thrilled that none of the top guys are showing up, because the story was at risk, I guess, of shifting to like, who's going to win the Wyndham Rewards, when the story next week is like, who keeps their card? Like, yeah. It is one of the most important weeks. I mean, all the points count the same, but the drama comes down to like, we are actually going to be watching the FedEx Cup standings next week. That's the same way we're watching it this week with Reno, what's going on now. But that needs to be the story. And it's one of the best subplots of the year for any tournament, really. And it's same as, you know, when it comes down to the final web events and the web finals and all that, that there's a lot of livelihoods on the line next week.
Like, people are playing for real stuff.
Yeah.
Like their livelihood, their career. You know?
Well, and it just kind of, you know, hit me even harder once. I mean, everybody knows the PGA Tour plays for a shitload of money, but seeing like some of our friends go from web tour to PGA Tour, have shitty years, and make like $600,000. Like, you literally play for 10x every time you tee it up, yeah, than what you're playing for the previous year. And that has a huge, huge impact on a lot of guys.
So totally.
Let's get to another voicemail here.
This is Connor from Atlanta. I was wondering if the Atlantic Paranormal Society will be launching an investigation into TPC Southland regarding the ghost of Rory McIlroy haunting the grounds. I just want to call about that. Thanks, guys.
It's a really important and great question.
We got a lot of calls about Rory.
Look, he didn't look alive out there today.
What do they call that when the it's like in The Rock, when the body, like, you know,
post-mortem,
the leg is still twitching.
Randy's not here to defend his burying.
Defend? Which, spiking the football.
Very true. To answer this call, I should say. Also, the Irish newspapers picking up the big Randy read a death sentence out loud.
American golf correspondent.
U.S. Phil golf correspondent.
Big Randy Landis.
If you guys happen to miss that, it's floating around out there somewhere. But in fairness, he said, in fairness, the American journalist did say that Dustin Johnson has 12 months to live.
Yeah, in fairness, I believe he was working on a quote bit, end quote.
End quote.
End quote.
Sal, you were a little fired up about your boy Norin.
Well, I was going to wait for you guys to apologize. Well,
we got to get to Rory here.
Okay,
first.
Yeah. Okay. I'll let you guys think. Apologize.
What is there to say about Rory? There's nothing to say.
I know. There's really not much to say.
What did he do? What did he shoot today? One over?
But I would have been mad either way. If you'd have won, I'd have been even more mad.
That's a good point.
Like, where was this last week? Porter tweeted out his like last 17 rounds on tour and how bad that 79 like stands out as an outlier. Today was not good, but like, I don't know. I don't think it says anything more. He's had such a great season outside of the majors. Like, this today doesn't take anything away from that. He's played so much good golf. He's been close in a lot of tournaments. He's won two tournaments or just one? He's won just the Players.
No, he's won twice.
He's won.
But anyway,
he won the Players and the Canadian Open.
Oh, yeah. The Canadian. That's right. He won that by like 25.
I thought he won another one, but maybe not.
No, this would have been third.
So like, I don't think this fits any kind of narrative of like, yeah, Rory just like can't close. Like, no, he's had an unbelievable season. The issue has been that he hasn't stepped up in the majors in particular. And so like, not getting it done against the number one player in the world today doesn't really change how I feel about it.
Yeah, it looked
season.
Like a lot of what we were talking about back in, you know, February and March before he won the Players, you know, when it was like, I don't know, can he close? What's going on? What's going on with Rory? It's these Sunday fades. And granted, like it was that for sure. I mean, I don't know how you, I'm saying this as like a shitty 8 handicap, of course. Like that is not lost on me, but I don't know how you can, like, every fucking hole, it seemed like he's 330 in the middle of the fairway.
He was blowing it past.
Yeah, and like, God, how do you shoot one over from there, man?
Yeah.
Like, holy cow.
So is Sawgrass, is it like a safe space for people who maybe aren't the best closers? Like Ricky, Rory.
I don't know if Rory's not
Sergio.
A good closer.
Sergio, yeah.
Rory might be the closer. Like, when he's had chances in majors, he's won them all. Like, that's the kind of thing that almost all of them, the really 2010 at Whistling Straits, he had a putt on the 18th green to get into the playoff and he missed it. But other than that, like, when he's been close, that's what's been made me wonder, are like the majors somewhat outliers? Like, statistically, should he have won, like from a probability standpoint, should he have won four of them? And I know he vaporized the field and at the 2012 PGA, 2011 US Open, but I don't know. Like, is that a true representation of his talent? I would say so, but like, it still is kind of a little question mark on his major total.
I saw a stat from the PGA Tour. This would have been the fourth time that he, Morikawa just made a long birdie on 17 to take the lead. We'll follow this story as it develops.
I'm tracking on my phone because I can't look at Troy Merritt's shirt.
This would have been the fourth time Rory won in the start after missing a cut, which is kind of interesting.
Good bounce back player.
Yeah.
Three birdies in a row for Morikawa.
Huge.
But no, yeah. So on the to your point, Tron, are you ready to apologize for the
norm? No, not at all. Well, I thought it was interesting.
Let's start at the beginning.
There were
here.
A few guys.
Start at the beginning.
There were a few guys in the field this week, courtesy of their OWGR standing.
Boom.
Boom. Well, yeah, it flips, of course. But like Cam Smith, not having a great year, hemorrhaging FedEx Cup, and all of a sudden he's right back in the mix now because of. And then, so Noren, explain Noren.
My point was. This new point in the calendar for this WGC, and I there's definitely an argument out there that like the points, the order in which you earn them doesn't really matter. And if this event was still in June,
why is this event where it is? They just won it before the playoffs.
It was the same. This is the timing that the Firestone event was. That's I would have to say that's part of the reason. But anyways, at this point of the season, for somebody like Noren, who has had a, by all accounts, a very poor season on the PGA Tour, he's 136th in the FedEx Cup and in danger of losing his card, 2 weeks left in the season to earn it. He gets into an event that doesn't have a cut, that is a juiced up FedEx Cup week. He only has 80 guys to play against, and he is able to earn point. While the rest of the guys grinding for their cards are in Reno, he gets like this exemption based on his world ranking and the fact that he's on the Ryder Cup team. To, you know, bump, see, so bumped, I think, Daniel Berger outside the top 125 as of right now.
It's like an earned income credit, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
he had all that money sitting in the bank, man. Yeah. That's, you know, that's.
Well, the stemming of this argument.
I lost the trail of that metaphor. I don't know.
Well, the stemming of this argument was me saying that Noren was not a top 10 player in the world. And now that he's playing on the PGA Tour, we're arguing about whether or not he's going to be in the top 125.
Well, listen, that was.
Rest my case.
No, listen, that was. This argument started like 2 years ago.
Exactly.
And 2 years ago, at that time, he was a top 10 player in the world.
Because of all the Euro events, correct? that was the point.
No, he was contending all the time.
He said like a couple top fives on the PGA Tour.
Well, he just
tour.
Doesn't play over. He wasn't playing over
he's
here
played
very
full
much.
Time on the PGA
now
Tour.
Now he has. Now he
almost
stinks.
Won last year.
Bubba won three times last year. Now he stinks. Like, listen, that shit happened.
He was top 10 when he was going to play on the Euro Tour. And now he's in danger of falling outside the top 50.
You're being jingoistic Solly again.
It just, it does suck that it's a no cut event. Guys can show up, finish last place, and still get world ranking points.
Shout out to Poom.
Like not
is that still the case? I don't think you get world ranking points for finishing last anymore. I know you don't get FedEx Cup points. At okay. Like the bottom like 20-ish percent of the field don't get FedEx Cup points, I don't believe. But
I remember looking at it a couple years ago, and it might not have been last place, but the guy who finished like second to last got a point or two.
Well, they definitely get cash. I knew that. But I think it was the, you may be thinking more of the hero, where like if you finish dead last, I think you do get
you
points.
Do get points, yeah.
Which that is messed
small
up.
Field, yeah.
But anyways, the whole point is kind of, it just feels weird at this point of the season that somebody's getting points to determine their livelihood when he's kind of afforded a luxury based off nothing that happened this year. Like he's to this point, he's not played himself into the playoffs and he gets a nice break right before.
It's like a get out of jail free card,
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. It just seemed a little fishy to me.
This is
not Noren. Like Noren should play.
How was Furyk in the field?
He's top 50 in the world.
Really?
That's how. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
How old is he? 49?
49. I mean, he finished second at Sawgrass, which is like the
that's
juiciest of points.
That's what it was. Yeah.
That'll get you a nice little bump there.
Furyk might be, we should be having a conversation. I know you ride for Brian Gabe. We should be having a conversation about Furyk being the greatest golfer of all time.
He's up there.
I would listen to that argument very much so. Yeah, he's 48th in the world right now. So anyways, just to the point of, you know, after us being out there in Reno and whatnot and seeing guys grind for their card, I looked up and I'm like, whoa. That is a pretty nice little benefit here to get to play a no-cut event and maybe lock up your card because of it for next year.
I think we talk about that. You know, I know this is kind of a European bent to it, the conversation we're having now, but it's like, I think this is kind of indicative of why it's so hard to fall out of that top 50, right? I mean, for anybody, like Furyk's a good example. You know,
like you're in.
Yeah, it's, you know, obviously it happens, but it's...
But Furyk dropped out, like way down, and he earned his way back.
Well, that's right. It happens eventually, but like you see guys hang around in that like 35, you know, number for a really long time because you just get these free points and you get into so many more events. And obviously... You get it for a reason. You get it. You know, you're up there because you probably won something or finished high. So it's
what if we had
it's
one,
not a perfect system.
What if we had one death panel spot like selection per year for a guy in the top 50?
That'd be very interesting.
You know,
what would you just take their card away?
Yeah, you just take their card away.
We'll send that over. I'm sure they're working on that one already as it is, but it's a great idea.
Last thing on Memphis that I want to say, unless you guys have anything else, but as cheesy as it might sound, I thought the Brooks hospital stuff was really cool. I don't think we've ever heard like heartfelt Brooks. And he said that like three or four times. I know they kind of beat it up on the broadcast a little bit too, but in his post round interview too, I mean, he said literally like word for word, like the hospital visits have like legitimately changed my life. Like going there gave me so much perspective, and that can be such a throwaway line, you know, for guys. And a lot of them do this week, but we've talked about this a lot with the PGA Tour. Like the charity stuff is no joke. It's easy to kind of goof on and easy to say like it gets worked into too much stuff, but when it's good, man, like it's so impactful and important. And so, I don't know. I thought that was cool to hear from Brooks.
To that point, guys that, you know, we talked to about this event seem to talk about that in a totally different, like it's not going through the motions. It's like legitimately what they do with St. Jude is incredible. And they do feel like inspired and like, just watching the little interactions, I know they're kind of forced for TV and stuff that they show on there, but it feels real. It feels somewhat real. I don't know why, but they know them by name, and it just feels actually pretty good. So to their credit, again, that none of the issues we have with this event are anything related to that at all.
It's like when people, when they had the PGA in St. Louis, everyone's like, why do you hate St. Louis so much? I don't hate St. Louis.
It's not about your city. Yeah. And they actually got good weather this week. I think it wasn't as hot as they thought it was going to be.
Right.
It was cool. I just seeing Koepka walk off, and then Ricky, his caddy, who's also a good player in his own right, talk to the kid on the 18th green. I thought that was pretty cool.
And reports that Penny Hardaway was out there as well.
T.O. was out there too.
Penny Hardaway was the head coach at University of Memphis.
Really?
Yeah.
Read first, a book, man.
Number one recruiting class.
First time hearing of this.
All right, let's move on and talk a little.
The guy
Reno.
From the Little Penny commercials.
Little like Penny Hardaway and Fernie Hardaway. Yeah.
not Little Penny though. Like the big one.
Yeah. Like real Penny.
But the guy from the commercials.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, also he played basketball for a long time too.
What do you know about that?
It was pretty good.
Times the world's pretty cool.
Let's talk about Reno. It's not over yet. Colin Morikawa is threatening to win against Troy Merritt here coming down the stretch. But TC and I got to go out to Reno Tahoe this week.
Guys, tell me about it.
It was invigorating.
Yeah, TC, this has been a top of your bucket list for quite some time.
Yeah, this one, and I still need to go to the John Deere at some point. But yeah, I'd never been to Tahoe. I'd never been to Reno before. We had an opportunity to go out there, stayed downtown, one of the casinos, Silver Legacy. Stayed out of the casino for the most part.
We spent the first night down there.
The first two nights we were down there. John Daly had a big...
Yeah, I was going to say, we got some stories from that. Like we couldn't really film much of anything that we did out there, especially the casino night. But man, it was funny to just... I don't know. We talk a lot about the tour kind of losing its fun edge and like drinking and partying. And like, it was wild to like walk downstairs to the casino and be like, oh yeah, there's Pat Perez shooting craps. And oh, there's Harris English playing blackjack. And Emiliano Grillo's running around. And he said he's up $5,000. And next I see him, he's up $3,000 and down $1,000. Like it's just ups and downs. And it was like the closest you can get to like experiencing the PGA Tour party scene. But
everybody says the Greenbrier is the only gambling scene, even beyond the Reno one where,
well, you like have to gamble at Greenbrier. There's nothing else to do.
Yeah, so like everybody's in the casino every night and just, but yeah, Daly was playing the slots.
The legends will have it that he was seated between two slot machines.
Did this get reported anywhere?
This is the coming from the No Laying Up podcast. Must credit No Laying Up podcast. He was pulling two machines at once. I think it was $1,000 a pull is what I heard. And that might not be right. That part might not be right. But what happened next is right. And that he hit the $180,000 jackpot. He was, I believe you said, drinking straight vodka with no ice.
That's like that's the JD way, I think.
According
to reports, also began licking the slot machine after he hit the jackpot.
As one does.
And then fell over and was escorted out of the casino.
They had to carry him out.
Which was the best thing that could have happened to him, because he probably would have gambled all that money right back.
He made the cut this week, too.
He did? Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. His swing's still like, you know, for all his health troubles and... You know, I mean, he's looking a little ragged, but his swing still looks good.
Oh, it's still, his divot pattern, on the other hand, was an absolute disaster.
It was like, Randy would have loved it.
Oh, it was so scattered. It wasn't even like a one little patch or strips. It was just randomly putting balls and just making the worst possible divot pattern. But We heard
him.
He's
an artist, man.
We heard him on the during the pro-am, like, recount the night to somebody else and say something like him. Basically, he wasn't remembering any of it. And so,
holy shit.
Yeah, it was, we didn't get to see this, but this, like, this happened. Yeah, we were at the pro-am draw party. Yeah. Which I don't know if he was supposed to be at that or not, but anyways, we got to play the pro-am with Pat Perez, which was awesome. What were your expectations going into
that? Yeah, I don't know, Pat, I've met him a couple times before, but I always felt like it was like the don't give a fuck stuff was maybe overplayed, or maybe like, no, he truly, like, he was so laid back, but he was also super thoughtful and engaging and like really switched on, which, yeah, it was like, we had great conversation all day. Yeah. He was really frank about certain stuff, about why he plays golf. He's like, dude, I can't make $2 million a year, $5 million a year doing anything else. Like, that's why I play golf. But I was also just super impressed with, he owns his swing.
He is a ball striker, man.
He missed maybe 3 shots that day, and he dropped another ball and absolutely flushed the next one into exactly what he was saying. So just premium ball striker.
Yeah. He's about as good a company as you can have for 18 holes for a pro-am. To your point, I just thought like I don't want to call it an act, but like, I just remember after he won the CIMB, he's just like, I'm going to be the same guy. I'm not going to work out. Kind of felt like playing to the crowd a little bit.
Like a shtick a little bit.
Yeah, little bit, but you do talk to him and it's just like, you wish other people would be that real. And he's also not afraid to be that person when the mics are on. And yeah, like that quote, I was like, I asked him like, do you love golf? And he's like, no, I don't. Like, get like, at this age, playing tournament golf, like, you know, and then 19 years of this, it's not that fun, but like, it's a great way to make a living. Yeah.
And he's hit his card for 19 years in a row.
19 consecutive years, which is nuts. And he said something too. He's got, he's exempt for next year because of his win at the CIMB. He won the best possible tournament to win, pretty much, which is CIMB, because you get a full year of exemption, then 2 years after that. And he's like, I've got...
they got rid of it now, right? There's no more CIMB?
Oh, yeah. They've got rid of the CIMB. But yeah, if you win an event in the fall, it's like the best possible time to do it. And then he's got an exemption for... He's going to eventually have made 300 cuts. I think he's 11 away from that. His caddy...
The J.J. Henry. The Purple Mamba role.
And he's also going to be top 50 in career earnings. And he'll get another year of exemption for that whenever he needs it. So he's like, I'm good until I'm like 47. It's basically, this is a really interesting way of looking at it.
Man, but, no doubt.
But for somebody that's earned it for 19 straight years, that's seriously, seriously impressive. But man, we got to do a podcast with, if you guys haven't, for those that like don't follow us on social media and saw Tim Heron and Jason Bone pop up on your podcast feed and skipped it, I don't blame you. Like like on the surface, that isn't like the one that jumps off the page. You would be making a huge mistake. If you're listening to us sit around and talk and not listening to those guys, you're doing something wrong. So please go back and listen to that. He is like Jason Bone. I will say it. I'm not afraid to say it, is the most entertaining person in golf.
Yeah. How about that?
Like
he was a tour de force.
And I did not know that going into the week, like not even remotely.
We got done with it. We're like, shit, can we record 3 more hours? Yes. And then that night we ended up, they had like a little speaking thing for him and Colin Morikawa for the Barracuda folks. We were up in the C-suite.
Of course.
And he just kept it rolling, man. He had just so many stories.
I mean,
guilty as charged with the stories.
He just tells them so well. He's up there just drinking wine. But he is like the perfect level of guy that doesn't have to give a fuck and doesn't have any like he has sponsors, but doesn't have any like image to protect and will give you the stories. So I was thrilled.
I mean, I know this is obvious based on what you're saying, but looking at the Barracuda leaderboard and looking at, kind of some of the trends in golf and stuff, it's like, those are the personalities, man, that really, really, really need to be brought out. And like, I promise they're out there, and I promise that not everybody is a robot like people think. And I don't know how else you make the 3M championships and the John Deere's and the Wyndham's and like those tournaments of the world. I don't know how they're entertaining 10 years from now if you're not bringing those personalities out of people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What do you think Jason Bone's career earnings are?
More than whatever I'm going to guess. I'm bad at this.
Like
I don't know.
$16.5 million, something like that.
Yeah.
It's wild.
And I don't think he's like, I don't think he's walking into Target and getting beaten up for autographs or photos.
Exactly.
He's got a pretty good spot in the world of golf.
So on the flip side, like you've got all these veterans out there who are, like Duval was in the field.
Direct shot at you know, all the people saying he's a ceremonial golfer.
Yeah, for real. For real. Duval's in the field. Purple Mamba was out there, of course. JJ Henry. He's a freaking unit.
He's an absolute unit. In awe of the size of JJ Henry.
He wasn't wearing purple and Tron was
really?
Like, yeah, he was hung up. Yeah.
Maybe he saves it for Sunday.
He was going to get a picture with him, but he couldn't because he wasn't wearing purple.
Got to hang out with Catman and Strever. A lot.
Big week for Streb.
Well, I'm curious to ask you, I know you've kind of been on police watch for the exemptions and the given out to guys in that 45 to 50.
The report's age, forthcoming.
45 to 49 age range. Did talking to those two guys change your perspective on any of that at all?
Well, no, I mean, I think those guys, like, they're not on sponsor exemptions. They're like, Lumpy's there because he's playing out of that category. Like, they're both playing out of, you know, past champ category. So I don't have a problem with those guys. I think we talked a lot with them about lowering the age for the Champions Tour to 45, because I think that would solve a lot of problems.
Yeah, get rid of those guys that are kind of caught in the middle.
Especially the guys that are playing weekly out on the Corn Ferry that are taking up spots from the young guys, like a Frank Licklider.
Yeah, he will name names. It just felt so. The word I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, because it's all relative. Because Lumpy's made $19 million and Jason Bones made $16 million, but it was weird to kind of see guys that clearly still have talent, can clearly still play this game, and really not having anywhere to play. Like, that age range is just like the no man's land for professional golfers. And again, like, I care a lot more about, you know, seeing the young guys grind and guys that haven't made their first million yet. But it is like a matter of time, I think, before the senior tour lowers it to 47 or something like that.
And then on the flip side too, you've got, you know, Morikawa's leading right now. You got John Chin, Charlie Danielson. I know they gave an exemption to
Dylan Meyer.
DJ Defunk, Dylan Meyer. They also gave an exemption.
I think Danielson was an exemption too, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then Will Gordon.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, he's playing well. I think
we played roulette the other night with him for a few hours. He had never played roulette before. And he just kept winning, and I was like, "Yeah, dude, this don't get used to this. It doesn't normally work like this."
Did the boys play any golf while you were out there?
We did. Played a little golf. We played at Grizzly Ranch over across the border in California.
Well, first of all, we played in the pro am, and the pro am, I've never chipped that bad.
It was like a parody. Yeah. Pat was roasting him. And I know if you saw our Instagram story, Tron did chunk a driver with the TrackMan. I will
that
disclaim.
That was a tough scene.
Well, he accidentally was handed my driver.
I've been drinking today, but I'm not that fucked up. Like, this grip feels weird. Like,
extra stiff shaft was not good for TC.
I've got an extra stiff shaft.
Why?
I have an 85 extra, because I want my dispersion tight,
which it is.
But I did hit a 400 yard drive on 17.
He did.
That was one of the better drives I've ever hit before.
So playing at altitude, first of all, it's weird trying to like figure out how to get your ball to really apex. But the 17th hole there, we gunned it, and we had these new fancy range finders that adjust for altitude and for elevation.
And barometric pressure.
Yeah, it was 415 actual, 321 adjusted. So there's a 96 yard adjustment, and TC almost drove the green on that hole. So,
It was 466 from the tips, and those guys are hitting 4-5 iron off the tee.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then actually got some pointers from Pat's coach,
Drew Steckel.
Drew, and he was fantastic. Pat's caddy. They've been together
28 years from when he was an amateur. I was like doing that. I was like, wait, you had a tour card 19 years. He's like, yeah, I was on my back when I was an amateur.
Holy
nuts. Yeah. Yeah. And so like, we were like, yeah, how many cuts away are you from 300? And he's like, and this caddy's like 11. He knew the number immediately.
We played Grizzly Ranch. It's a Bob Cup design. Some funky par fives out there. Some really good short fours. Played with the winner of The Bachelorette, Garrett Yergorian.
I think he showed us his Instagram page. He had 96%. He has like 750,000 followers, and 96% of them are women.
We're like low key deep in the Bachelorette.
Seriously,
that's exactly right.
Yeah,
shout out to Ben Higgins.
It might kind of be our block. I think here.
Yeah. So he lives. He played baseball at Nevada, Reno, and then went on the show. He's still with the lovely young woman that was the Bachelorette, and they live down in Carlsbad now. So,
guys, Morikawa just birdied 18.
It's happening. So Merritt needs to eagle.
Wow!
Holy shit, man! What a god!
He was so insane. Morikawa was so freaking impressive this week. Just hearing him talk and
he's a grown
watching him play, and he's like wise beyond his years. He's a really sharp kid.
What was your guys' impression of Reno in general?
I loved it. It was weird and cool, and like there was so much to do, and like it was pouring rain on Friday. So we're at the tournament on Friday. They suspended play, and we're like, well, shit, let's just drive back over the lake, drive over across the mountains, back over the lake. It's sunny over there. We played at one of the best mini golf courses.
Oh God.
we'll probably throw up the Instagram story.
We got to put on the Instagram on story Monday, eventually, yeah. But it was like the coolest mini golf course we've ever seen.
36 hole complex.
Yeah. Mountain in a lake course.
Was it a mountain?
It was a
mountain in the lake course.
It was a Doak redesign.
I mean, some of the features were like, it was built in 1956, I think.
But you had to do all this screwy stuff. You had to like sit on a fire hydrant on one of them. You had to do one left-handed. You had to do one like a pool shot.
I think that's how you protect par with some of these, you know, when the ball goes so far.
There were a few designs that were a little bit look at me. Yeah.
But the volcano template was a little bit challenging. I made a 10 on that hole. But no, we played Old Brockway, a little 9-hole course there.
Original site of the Crosby Clam Bake.
Yeah, that was wild.
Tahoe in like the 40s and 50s had to be quite a scene.
Back when Sinatra owned the Cal Neva casino. Yeah, I'd never been to Tahoe before. We sat out on the dock at the outside the Hyatt there and just had drinks one night. And yeah, I mean, might be the nicest place in the world.
Seriously.
I got deep into a Tahoe rabbit hole, because we filmed forthcoming, after Tour Sauce wraps up. You guys can look forward to another season of Strapped, which was in Reno, but yeah, kind of just going down and digging up some stuff on like old Tahoe and what it was like.
Yeah.
If anyone's looking for a movie recommendation, by the way, Bad Times at the El Royale. It's all about like this hotel in old Tahoe, but I'll leave it at that. Strongest recommendation.
I went deep down the Reno Wikipedia thing just about, you know, how it was the main gaming spot before Vegas. And then, you know, Vegas came along, and then
it's Vegas without the douche factor.
Totally agree.
It's very real.
And there's some rough spots for sure. Yeah. Like I think
it's gritty.
Yeah. Not to gloss over any of that, but I mean, it's just, yeah, there's no Steve Aoki's not fucking running around there and
throwing
like
cakes at people.
Yeah. There's nobody like beating you up on the street with like handing you gross flyers and like stuff like that. It's just, I don't know, man. The
coffee scene was really strong. Yeah. Curtis was raving about it. We went to a couple different places. One was like right on the river. The world, the bowling stadium. Did you see that?
No.
They have, it's like the National Bowling Stadium. It's this, they've got like 80 lanes in there, and you know, a few thousand people can fit in there, and they have all these big bowling.
It's titles. A perfect weird little place for Straps. Yeah. Like that.
Yeah, exactly. I think people are going to like some of the stuff that comes out.
The World Scrabble Championship was going on while we were there.
All things you guys could check out in the beautiful city of Reno.
But there was so much good golf.
Well, that 18th hole scene too, at the Barracuda was incredible. It was seriously cool. It's a tough course to walk. So kind of the fans really congregate there on the 18th green, that finishing par five. And that scene right behind people playing bags back there. And it just is like, it was like if the PGA Tour and the Corn Ferry Tour had a baby. It's like kind of what the event is like size wise.
The most aspirational vibe you could have for, and then, but yeah, like Martis Camp, Clear Creek, Edgewood over at the lake. There's a bunch of good courses in and around Reno. Some of the ones that you guys played. Mm-hmm. Just like really cool, funky place. I liked it. I can't wait to go back.
Troy Merritt hit it right at the pin, short of the green. He's going to have to chip in for the win. Otherwise, Colin Morikawa, your champion.
Unbelievable, man. I mean, there's no other way to like, it's like a hard thing to tweet. Like, wow, really impressive play. But how do you like describe what this class is doing immediately?
Well, that was the interesting thing about talking to Will Gordon the other night. Cause he's like the fifth guy.
There's only
four exemptions for a lot of these events. So he's like, man, I'm like, it's cool to see these guys playing well, but like, I'm here too. And like, I want to get into these fields, but like, I can't, cause these guys are just, you know, bogarting all the spots. And
now that Wolf has won that.
Yeah.
Helps.
So that helped him out a bunch.
The guy from Vandy.
Yeah.
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 But I mean, yeah, God, it's just nuts, man. I mean, they're so freaking polished. And like we said, we talked to Morikawa. I like talking to the rookies just about, cause it seems like everyone has a lessons learned from in that. And it seems like one of his was, he's going, like, he was like looking around and be like, oh, I need to be grinding so hard because all these guys are on the range so much. And he's like, I was beating myself up to death. Like, I got out of my routine immediately, just like watching all the tour guys hit so many range balls. So seems to have adjusted pretty well.
Like, he adjusted quickly.
Unbelievable.
Man, is Hovland underachieving at this point?
Has to be.
He hasn't won in like five starts, six starts.
Well, this gets Morikawa into the playoffs. I mean, 2-year exemption, he's going to get his.
If Troy already, Merritt doesn't chip in.
Well, yeah, he was going to get his card anyways, or he already had his card locked up for next year. And I would imagine it would take a minor miracle for him to not get it for next year. But
well, so speaking of people getting their cards, big shout out on the Korn Ferry Tour to our man, Harry Higgs. Tron and I played in a pro-am with him at Savannah, at least 9 holes of the pro-am. Harry the Hitman Higgs, giant fan. I'm a giant fan.
Yeah.
Like I think that he is exactly kind of the type guy that PGA Tour needs. He's kind of big and a little brash and a little, just like, I know people throw this around all the time, but like, I can't picture a better guy to like have a beer with, you know, just among the most normal dudes we've met out there.
He's from KC. He absolutely pounds it. And yeah, he's just funny. He's his own person and he'll tell you what's on his mind, which is sweet.
I think he's going to be a very high draft pick in the FedEx Cup next year.
Yeah, that's exciting. I mean, he's going to be an easy guy to root for and somebody we'll have on the pod eventually.
Yeah,
I think,
we need to make that happen.
We were supposed to record with Pat Perez while we were out there. He ended up gambling instead of recording. So we didn't end up recording that one.
Got a rain check though.
Yeah, he says he will come on sometime and that will surely be must listen. I didn't watch. I tuned in a little bit to watch the Avion this morning. Jin Young Ko won. It was 108 there at one point this week. And today it was like with long sleeves and rain gear. I mean, a cold front finally rolled through.
What's with that event? I just can't get a sense of it.
I know. It's kind of just a major because they call it a major. If you dig too deep on it, you start asking yourself, wait, what is a major? What even is a major, man?
Some of those pictures.
Oh, it was a tough scene. Yeah. I think, I don't know how bad
winter.
I wonder if the heat.
I think a bad winter and a horrible heat, but it was like horrible splotches in the fairway. Like really some rough scenes and condition wise, like looked like they should have resodded this before the tournament, probably. I don't know.
Troy Merritt hit a great chip, did not go in. Colin Morikawa, your champion.
Unbelievable.
Unreal.
I mean, he like came in as a featured guy. He was doing, one guy did the press conference while we were there. It was him. And he like, when you're a sponsor's exemption, you got to do a little bit of other sponsor stuff. And he had to do a Q&A with Jason Bone. And it was amazing to listen to how polished he was and how Bone was absolutely letting it fly. And I think Morikawa got pretty red faced at one point hearing some of Bone's stories, but God, that's unbelievable.
Unreal, man. What is that? Five events or six events since those guys graduated, and Wolf and Morikawa are already winners.
Unbelievable. So Jin Young Ko, she won her second major of the year. Sung Yun Park had a really rough Sunday and gave it away. Jennifer Kupcha almost tracked her down. She shot like 66 or 67 today.
I missed it. I was so hungry.
Well, yeah. Tell us what happened. Tell us what happened to your night last night.
We went to the Hiration concert down in St. Augustine. Great time. Actually went with these two miscreants and their significant others. And then met Johnny Thompson, the Callaway Tech down there. And then Steve Lear and Paula Lear, Maddie Kelly's,
holy name drops here, Tron. Get to the story.
Super Chef Bobby Flay.
I'm sorry. I'm still like, so yeah, we had a big night. On the way home, I puked in the Uber. And Alex always, so my wife always brags about her 5.0 rating.
Oh no.
So I was like, I'm sorry about your rating. You know, it was a $200 cleaning fee and stuff.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh. But yeah, I mean,
seems fair.
The guy was cool and it was non-stinky. Vomit, but yeah, every time I hang out with Maddie's in-laws,
I'd like to ask that guy if he agreed with that. Were they in the car?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. Well,
where were you sitting?
I've puked 3 times in the last like 5 years, and 2 of the 3 have been when I've been with Steve. And like, he sends it, man.
So where were you sitting in the car?
It was a Dodge Caravan and it was 2 captain's chairs. So I was in the right captain's chair.
It's right in the middle though.
But you can't roll the window down.
Brutal.
You know? You didn't feel it coming. You didn't warn the driver. You could pull over.
It was non-stinky. Non-stinky.
I had to go pick up the Tron had the drone at his house. I had to go pick it up from him today. And I tried messaging him.
He was not fit to fly.
I messaged. I messaged him.
You're,
I'm like,
you're
hey,
off the mission.
Hey, can I get the drone? He never replied, and I was passing his house anyway, so I just pop in and ring, knock on the door, and he comes to the door just looking.
Freddie and I were taking naps.
Yeah, he was. He did not look right. Like it's, I felt like I'd interrupted like a funeral of some kind. He was a dead man walking. But hell of a show by the Iration guys. Yeah. Pooch gave a shout out to Taurus Sauce right before he played Already Gold, which was hilarious.
Such a fun venue.
Oh, it was a great, great event. So thanks to those guys for having us out.
And, last thing I had on my list, you guys see the news from Bob Herrig, Skins game coming back in Japan.
I saw that the Monday of the Japan event,
the Monday of the Zozo Championship.
I'm pumped for the Zozo.
Is it Monday or Wednesday?
I thought it was Monday.
Early in the week.
Tigers.
I
think it's the same course wherever the tournament at.
I don't know if that's right. It's at Accordia Golf Narashino Country Club.
I think that's the same course. Yeah.
One day competition will offer lucrative prize money. Will take place a few days prior to the start of the Zozo Championship.
So who is it?
Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Jason Day, and Hideki Matsuyama. I assume all of those guys would be playing in the Zozo Championship as well. I know the Big Cat has already confirmed, but I don't know.
Are they mic'd up?
I don't know.
Complete non-starter if they're not mic'd up. And just off the top, like I already probably don't care because it's just a money giveaway and they'll probably screw it up.
We'll see.
So do not know on whether or not players will be mic'd up. It says, basically, this is part of an agreement that Tiger has to provide content to Golf TV, which, as we know, is an international rights holders. But apparently there is negotiations to have the Skins event televised in the U.S. market as well. The big homie Mark Steinberg has declined to comment.
Maybe on Golf Pass.
Possibly. Maybe get the Golf Pass boys involved.
All the all the donations they got in lieu of flowers past week. Hopefully it's possible. Can fund that.
So, you know, I don't know. Whatever. I only bring it up because we talk a lot about, you know, weird ideas and
I'm in favor of a ton of weird ideas, but they always end up looking too like formulaic.
Yeah.
Like I don't have confidence that they're going to like crush this and it's going to be really freaking cool.
Like, I think they should do three of the top 10 players. And then the other one should just be totally out of left field.
Getting strokes.
That'd be sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Having an everyman getting strokes would be great.
Yes. Yeah. They should use some of the exemptions for somebody like that. It'd be more interesting. Bernard Longer won the UK Senior Open at Royal Lytham. Didn't watch a ton of that, but not a surprise. He wins pretty much everything. And I think that's pretty much all
I've got. Small payouts in that one. I think he only won like £220,000.
Hmm.
Which is exchange rate. That's about right, isn't it?
I think normally for senior majors, they win $500,000 or $600,000.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to watch this week. You get the Korn Ferry going to San Francisco, or East Bay, I should say. Between that and they've got two more weeks in the regular season there. And then between that and the Wyndham, just seeing guys on the bubble, like Patton Kizzire, I guess he's still exempt from his wins, but, he's 126, Berger's 127, Duffner's 132, Peter Uihlein, 133, Bo Hostler, 140. So, I mean, there's some guys that are on the outside looking in right now. And on the flip side, there's some guys, some pretty decent players, you know, right before the bubble too.
Yeah. I wonder if Norn must be playing, right? If he's 121, he's definitely committed. Drop out. Yeah.
Yeah. He's committed.
Yeah. That'd be good. Sedgefield's always cool. Yeah. Wyndham's kind of a low key, a fun week. So.
Awesome. Well, I'm going on vacation, so I don't know if you guys are planning to do a podcast on Sunday. We have some podcasts recorded that will at least come out in the next couple of weeks. It depends on what happens next weekend, but you guys are, let the people know. You'll let them know.
Yeah, we'll let them know for sure. We'll keep you posted.
You're good hands.
Yeah, no worries.
I trust you guys completely.
Where are you going for vacation?
We're going to Amsterdam and to Switzerland. Get out of the humidity for a couple, almost a little over a week. So
nice.
It's a great time of year to be in Central Europe.
Nice. Freddie's
the C-suite swinging by Geneva. Check on his account.
I got to mix him with draws.
That's actually more Zurich.
I suppose that's that just shows, you know, my familiarity with
that's
the
what I'm flying in and out of
situation.
So I got some appointments set up there. So,
Freddie's out of school this week, 2 weeks off of school. So I'm on
daddy
duty this week.
Locked in.
Yeah.
You kick things off pretty well by puking in the Uber. So
yeah.
Awesome. All right.
Non-stinky
puke. All right. Thanks everybody for tuning in and have a good week. Cheers.
Crack on.
Be the right club. Be the right club today.
Yes. Yeah.
Johnny. That's better than most. How about him? That is better than most. Better than most.